And today, in a special way, at this service, we want to honor our graduates. And I've got to tell you, I was at two graduations this week, one for pre-K-3 and one for pre-K-4. So I'm all about graduation today. So let's give a big round of applause to all of our graduates. We've got pre-K graduates, we've got doctoral candidates graduating, we've got people from all over the place. So we're happy. We're happy to be able to do that. And I'm just going to tell you graduates something. You never stop graduating. Listen to me, I'm an old man now. You never stop graduating. You're always studying, you're always learning something. And sometimes a degree comes from an official place, and sometimes it just comes from life. There was a college professor who taught science, and he was convinced that the best way to start his classes every semester when he got a new group of students was to, right off the bat, right from the beginning, say to all of them, listen, I'm atheist. I don't believe in that God stuff. So please, don't talk about religion in my classroom. Don't talk about anything spiritual. I'm the only one that can talk about those things. I don't want to hear any of that from my students. So oftentimes, the college professor, in his arrogant style, would, you know, throw little jabs out at the religious people. There was this one girl who was a very devout, fervent Christian, and she would even bring her Bible to class, so he could always see the Bible, and she's the one that had the lunchtime Bible study, you know, in school and all that. Everybody knew her as the Christian girl, if you will. One day, the topic in the science class was whales. They were talking about whales. And so the professor decided to show a big picture on a screen of whales. And, you know, when whales open their mouth wide to see the mouth. And so the professor started explaining how whales have little filters in their throat. So it would be impossible for a human being to ever be swallowed up or eaten by a whale. And so the professor decided to say to the student, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by the whale? And the student said to the professor, well, professor, that's what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. Come on, but look at the picture, look. Look at the throat of the whale. It's impossible for a human being to get in there. And the young girl proceeded to tell the professor once again, I'm sorry, the Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by the whale, and I believe it. And so this went back and forth. You know, it's kind of like a tennis match. Have you guys ever watched a tennis match on TV where they're going like this? Right? All the people are going like that? It was kind of like that. And that went on and on and on for a while. And so all of a sudden, the college professor said, well, listen. When you get to heaven, since you believe in all that stuff, why don't you ask Jonah how he got in the belly of that whale? I'd love to find that out, because it's impossible. And the young girl said, that's true. When I get to heaven, I will talk to Jonah, and I will say to Jonah, Jonah, how is it that you got into the belly of the whale? Everybody thought, well, that's settled. But then the professor said, huh, but there's a glitch. What if when you get to heaven, Jonah is not there? What if Jonah was sent to hell? Since you believe in all that too. And she said, oh, that's simple, professor. In that case, you can ask Jonah. It's funny because when you look at Scripture today, if you start with the first book of Kings that we read, you've got Elijah being sent out by God on a mission that seemed impossible. As a matter of fact, Elijah went out there with just faith alone. God sent him. He said, I'm going to go. And when Elijah shows up, he finds a poor widow and her son with very little to eat. A jar, some oil, whatever they had going in there. It wasn't very much. But Elijah trusted God enough to say to this woman that she would never run out of food. Just do this, do that, and you won't run out. Elijah trusted in the promises of God. Elijah knew that God would provide. It seemed impossible, but it happened anyway, didn't it? You get to Paul, and he's telling the Galatians, me? I was the worst of them all. I was the one committed 100% to persecuting the church of Christ. I was the Jew that didn't want to know anything about Christians. I was the one that was going to get rid of that whole Jesus movement thing. And I was stuck on it. And I persecuted Christians and made them suffer. But look what God did. What seemed impossible happened to Paul. Paul became the greatest spokesperson of Christianity. As a matter of fact, if you look in your Bibles and you look at the New Testament, you're going to find 27 books in the New Testament, most of them having something to do with Paul. So the greatest persecutor of Christians, the greatest enemy of the church, became the great spokesperson that God used to bring people to know Christ. It seemed impossible, but it happened. And then you get to the gospel, and you've got the most extreme situation of all for human beings. You saw what happened in the gospel, right? It says to us that someone died. He was dead. And all of a sudden, the son, the only son of this mother, was raised to life. Maybe everyone thought that Jesus was going to go there and say a little prayer for the dead person. Maybe people thought that Jesus was going to go and console the widow and say, I'm really sorry for your loss. That's what polite people do, right? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did what seems impossible for us. It says that Jesus saw her sadness, that he had compassion, that he said to her, don't weep, don't be sad. And then the child sat up. When he said, rise, the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. It seemed impossible, didn't it? But Jesus did it. You know, today's lessons come together beautifully. They're all presenting to us scenarios of things that seem impossible for man. And then we see how God turns around the scenario, and what seems impossible for man is possible for God. Today's lessons are challenging us, men and women in the 21st century, young and old alike, no matter where you are in life. God is challenging you today to trust, to know that nothing is impossible with God. God is challenging you to develop a relationship of faith. Listen to me carefully. Real faith. Real faith is not an acceptance of a series of doctrines. Real faith is not memorizing the creed, as important as the creed is. Real faith isn't even memorizing a bunch of Bible verses. Real faith is about a relationship with a living God and trusting that all things are possible for God. So when you look at your life and you see the difficult situations in marriage or the difficult situations with your children or the different difficult situations with your parents, if you are one of those children, The difficult situations that we all face in life with our jobs and with our finances and with our struggles. Sometimes it's a physical ailment. Sometimes it's something that hurts inside. Sometimes it's emotional pain. Whatever your difficulty is and whatever name you want to put on it, you have to know that it may seem impossible for you for that situation to be turned around, but everything that seems impossible for man is possible for God. Everything that seems impossible for man is possible for God. And as human beings, it is through faith, that we're able to begin to see how God turns things around. I don't have the resources. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, you know, this church is not big enough. Oh, we don't have this or that. Or I don't have a car. I don't have a way to get from point A to point B. We create a lot of obstacles for ourselves. And those obstacles are lies. Listen to me. They're lies. God does not want you to say, I can't. If you say, I can't, I want you to know that does not come from God. God wants you to say, I can. What seems impossible for me is possible for God. What seems impossible for me is possible with a little bit of faith. You remember the parable of the mustard seed, right? The smallest of all the seeds, but becomes what? One of the world's biggest trees. With a little bit of faith, what seems impossible for man becomes possible. So today, I believe God's word is inviting us to really think about the many lies that we have created for ourselves. The lies that we have allowed to penetrate our minds and hearts, the I can'ts, the it won't happen, the that's impossible. If I were to sit here or stand here today and tell you all the many ways that I've seen God's hand at work in my life and in other people's lives, if I were to sit here and begin with that, we would not leave here for 3 days. I remember there was a cartoon about a priest that used to preach so long that he used to bring his lunchbox and put it on the pulpit and say, okay, we'll take a break for lunch and we'll be back in 45 minutes. I'm not going to do that to you. But that's what I would have to do if I were to begin to tell you all the many ways that I've seen things that seemed impossible happen. I say this to you because that's the role of real faith in our life. When we have real faith, we begin to see the possibilities of everything that seems impossible. And all those lies that we have been told, even since our childhood, because believe it or not, a significant number of us have suffered abuse. Abuse of different kinds. But one of the worst forms of abuse comes from people who supposedly love us, and they mean well, but from a very early stage of our life, they said things like, you can't do that. That's not your gift. You can't possibly study this or study that. Or you can't go there or here. And how can you do that? And without knowing it, they were helping us, by the way, helping us to create mental and spiritual obstacles for ourselves. But I would say to you, pay attention to the stronger voice. Pay attention to the stronger message. The message that comes from faith in God. The one that says, nothing is impossible with faith and trust in God. Nothing is impossible. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.